ladies and gentlemen, are we too sensitive, or are we not sensitive enough? Now, I know the tough questions usually come further into the body of the show, but we got a lot of fish to fry today, and so let's get to it. Are we too sensitive, or are we not sensitive enough? Evidence on one side of the picture comes from, sorry for popping the mic, sorry for hitting the mic, just sorry. Evidence on one side of the argument comes from Terry McAuliffe, just crowned over the weekend as the new chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the choice of Bill and Hillary Clinton, probably because of his prowess in raising funds and in providing the original mortgage for their house in Chappaqua, New York. Anyway, Terry McAuliffe, in speaking this week, I guess, committed a gaffe. He said the phrase colored people, and shortly afterwards advised of his faux pas, hastened to apologize and to say that he was sorry if he had offended anybody, but of course what he had really meant to say was people of color. I swear that's what happened. I wouldn't make that up for $1 million. Yeah, I would. He said colored people, he apologized, and then he said he meant to say people of color. It's Black History Month. What's he supposed to do? On the other hand, so maybe we're too sensitive. On the other hand, maybe we're not sensitive enough anymore. I don't know. Burger King is a sponsor of the XFL, the Football League, quotes, being put on by the World Wrestling Federation. World Wrestling Federation has actually just invented a football league and gotten NBC to go in halfies with them. But if you watched any of the XFL last night, and I did just because I wanted to see NBC embarrass itself, but they were smart. They made sure that all the microphones didn't have NBC Sports anywhere on them. They had XFL logos instead, and the normal Peacock bug that appears in the corner of your screen had a big X over it. So maybe they're too sensitive. But on the other hand, as I say, Burger King is a sponsor. And then, as if to compete, the distinguished fast food chain McDonald's has unveiled a new advertising campaign. And I swear, not making this up, spotted on a bus here in Southern California just this week, a McDonald's ad on the bus for, you know, one of their sandwiches, one of their Mad Cow specials. And the headline was, quote, "Bite the big one," unquote. So are we too sensitive, or are we not sensitive enough? Or are we just, hello, welcome to the show?
Beautiful face, it's pointed straight up toward the small. I know you feel me beaming. Can you sense my burning X-ray vision as you roll on by? Now you must be gravitating to the vibe I'm generating, or maybe not. You are mine.
how I know. That's how I know. I'm the asteroid that will infiltrate your soul. That's how I know. That's how I know. Speeding towards you, burning out of control.
Edge of America, from the home of the homeless, from the world headquarters of all the gyms. Don't we have all the gyms here? Don't we really? This is another edition of the show. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you there too. And I am so proud to note on a new website that I've just been apprised of which if you're into public radio at all, it might be something you'd want to know about, too. It's called publicradiofan.com. It's for real, and it's basically a way of finding out when your favorite shows are on any time that you might want to hear them all over the public radio system on any public radio station that is on available on the Internet. And so they categorize all the public radio shows that they provide links for, and this broadcast is categorized as funny. That's just the category. It's not a review. It's just a category. I think the car guys are there too. So it's really not a review. Ladies and gentlemen, an independent report accused television networks of confusing the public and interfering with democracy on election night, calling their actions an abuse of power. This is in the United States. The report by three veteran journalists was commissioned by CNN, but took a broader look at all the networks, prematurely declaring George W. Bush the winner that night. CNN responded by promising to pay for an independent vote analysis system and to not use exit polls to call close races. Well, why would you? The races that aren't close, you can call before the polls have opened, can't you? The report condemned the networks in unusually harsh language for twice declaring and then retracting winners in Florida. The television system of analyzing voter information self-destructed, it said. Television interfered with the electoral process and the election result. CNN's own performance that night, according to the journalists, was, quote, a debacle. That's a bad thing. The reports of the networks were done in by a competitive drive to be first in declaring states for a particular candidate and an overconfidence in experts and polls. Excuse me. How much did they pay those guys to figure that out? I've been doing it for free. An overconfidence in experts and polls. That competition was ultimately foolish since few viewers knew who was first. And because each network paid to use the same source of information, according to the journalists. Yeah, but they care who's first. Screw the viewers. They know who's first, and they are the ones who care. The Future of Voter News Service, that single source, is in doubt. Its members are reviewing another report on the company's election night performance and deciding whether to pour more money into it or start something new from scratch. Again, Voter News Service has reviewed itself, finding that the company's Florida projections seriously underestimated the number of absentee ballots and the samples of key precincts were too small for drawing conclusions about statewide results. VNS also failed to properly convey to its members at various points that night the risk that they could be making a wrong declaration. None of the other networks have offered comment on the report. The head of CNN declined to comment since he's expecting to be fired. CNN did not go as far as the report suggested in making changes. The report recommended networks stop using exit polls entirely to project winners. CNN said only it would not use exit polls in states with close races. The report also recommended networks stop using returns from key precincts to project a winner statewide. CNN said instead it would fund its own system to sample key precincts, which will cost millions of dollars. So they had to fire. They had to lay off people to do that. But they will not desist from using exit polls. Ladies and gentlemen, the only people who can desist from using exit polls and make it stick are you. Just don't answer when they come up with the clipboards. It's a tip. The clipboard is a tip-off that nothing good is going to happen. Take it from me. Speaking of journalistic debacles, as we were moments ago, when Katie Couric, Barbara Walters, Larry King, Dan Rather, and others wanted to get an interview with Theodore Kaczynski, the convicted Unabomber, they wrote letters that can only be described as sucking up. At least they were described that way by the Washington Post. To some environmentalists, gushed Sean Efron of 60 Minutes 2, to Kaczynski, quote, "You are a hero and a pioneer," wrote Good Morning America's correspondent Dan Dollar. "I hope you decide it's in your better interest to explain yourself by using me." Use me. Larry Ish, producer for the Roseanne show, was more personal. Quote, "I believe that you and her would definitely hit it off." That's not a real Larry. That's Larry Ish. These and other pitch letters from 1999 were unearthed by a website, thesmokinggun.com, from files donated by Kaczynski to the library at the University of Michigan. Said New Yorker staff writer Lawrence Wright in his letter, "I'm particularly interested in why certain people feel the need to act out what they have read in books or seen in movies. I'm also a screenwriter. My first movie, The Siege, starring Denzel Washington, came out last November. There is violence depicted in my work, in particular terrorists who are setting off bombs in New York. So, we have a lot in common." CNN's legal analyst Greta Van Susteren, "I'll ask the tough questions and get to the point," noted that that she handled death penalty cases as a defense lawyer. "I would like to focus on, among other things, the issue of whether a mental illness defense can be or should be forced on a legally competently accused. Your case is particularly fascinating since you reject the findings and no one can dispute that you are an extremely smart man." "I stand by that letter," says Greta. "The guy is a very bright, high IQ murderer." Sean Efron, the 60 Minutes 2 producer, was at pains to distance his show from his sister program. "Please understand that 60 Minutes 2 is not the program on which your brother and mother appear. They appeared on 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace and Leslie Stahl. Our story will allow you to personally refute what they said about you." A CBS spokesman said the letter was not derogatory at all toward 60 Minutes. It uses what any journalist would use to entice him to come on the program. And that's said in their defense. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Clinton took some of the pressure off this week, announcing that after a furor erupted over news that he wanted an office on the entire 56th floor of Carnegie Hall Towers in New York as his post-presidential office at a cost to the taxpayers of $700,000. He announced that his foundation would pay half the cost, half the rent, and that given the alacrity with which some members of Congress were going to or threatening to investigate the gifts taken home by the Clintons, amounting to $190,000, unlike the $144,000 in gifts taken home by the George and Barbara Bush family after only 4 years in the White House, that the Clintons would pay off half the cost of those gifts from their foundation. Still, Congressman Dan Burton, who once tried to prove how Vince Foster was murdered by shooting a pistol at a watermelon in his backyard, is threatening to hold hearings on the pardon issue. And the hint of possible investigation also swirls around Reverend Jesse Jackson. Questions about where the money came from to buy the house he purchased for the mother of his, quote, love child, unquote, in Los Angeles. It's expensive to live here. We're proud that he chose this place. But he's maybe answering questions, maybe forced to answer questions about whether that money came from charitable contributions to Operation Push. It sounds, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Clinton will not leave the stage. It does sounds like another edition of Clinton Something here next on the show.
Something. The Chappaqua Years.
Nah, I think the picture of me and Arafat doesn't work over the fireplace. What do you think?
Me? Mm-hmm. I just work here, sir. I'll put it wherever you want.
Yeah. It's so hard for me to get used to the idea that the people around me aren't advisors anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do happen to be one of the few people I know who made money in the NASDAQ last year.
Maybe between the thing and the thing.
What? The candelabra and the sconce?
Yeah, right. Man, it's a whole new vocabulary. I always thought sconce was what Tony Blair demanded with his tea.
Nah, I don't know. That sort of puts the spotlight on the Arafat picture as opposed to putting it into context with the whole peacemaker motif. Man, decorating is harder than it looks. Well, if nobody else is going to get it, I guess I will.
Man, you got to do everything yourself these days.
Mr. President, I come without entourage.
Man, I wouldn't mind seeing a good-sized entourage right about now. Come on in, Jesse.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not intruding in the nesting process. Setting down roots is the only way to ensure that once planted, you will be fruitful.
Yeah. Now, I'm just trying to finish the unpacking.
Ah.
Fellas, you can take five, or whatever it is people take these days.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful house. Beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah.
Any people of color live here?
Actually, I think Puffy Combs' mom lives a couple miles away.
Oh, I pray for that woman.
You think it's a wig?
Platinum hair on her sister? Bet this house on it.
You know, I would never have been following his trial in the old days.
Mm.
I'd have been reading the intelligence reports on the Mideast or complaints from commanders in Kosovo.
Sometimes you don't realize how heavy the weight is. Until you put the burden down.
Hey, man. Burden isn't down yet. I can't take a crappy Dale Chihilly glass what's-it without creepy old Watermelon Dan Burton threatening to hold hearings and subpoena everybody who's ever held us a fundraiser.
Oh, you love it.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky I do, because it wouldn't stop regardless, but... Yeah, I love the game, and they're so damn bad at it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all right. We'll reimburse the gifts from the foundation.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, we'd go to the same people who gave us the gifts and say, please, won't you contribute to the foundation? It's just another hoop I gotta jump through.
Yeah, but it sure beats redecorating.
Does it ever. I mean, have you checked out Denise Rich? Man, is she hot. And she writes for Aretha, man, so you got all the soul with about half the back porch.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, what brings you to Chappaqua? I don't think you came for the antique fair down at the high school, did you?
No, sir, I did not. Matter of fact, the only antique I'm interested in right now is me. I've lost my way. The love child story is morphing into a story about the money for the mother. I'm about to walk through the valley of the shadow without a paddle.
Jesse, you gave me some very good advice during the whole Monica thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what it was?
Sold your PepsiCo stock?
That was part of it, but you also said something about responsibility.
Mm. I said very often taking the responsibility is the best way of avoiding the blame.
There you go.
But Mr. President, at this time, the very time when I ought to be leading the charge against the desire of President Bush to roll everything back, I've got to worry about the danger of being rolled under. This could be my White Waterloo gate.
Jesse, I don't need to tell you that I know how you feel, except for the part about you being African-American, which, especially during Black History Month, I can never know how that feels.
Uh-huh.
But I do know how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from offering you some, let's call it moral support, and some trail mix in the bowl over there...
I'm fine.
What can I do for you, buddy?
Well, so you can't spell triumph without try. So that last part in list, have they published the final version yet? I mean, is it set in stone?
Oh.
Can there be any addendums submitted? Because...
Man, I'm already getting enough heat about the stupid pardons. You know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody can just stay in jail now. Present company accepted, of course.
Well, but that's just it, sir. Hmm? The Mark Rich pardon is the lightning rod. Something filed back there under the J's. That might be an act of stealth kindness, flying way under the radar of reaction.
You're damn good, Jackson. But, you know, even Jack Quinn couldn't get you a pardon now. I mean, I couldn't give one to my best friend at this point, which is not to say that you're not my best friend. As a matter of fact, at this moment...
Well, what answer? What you could do for me is lend your services and your email list to a fundraiser at Madison Square Garden.
Legal fund?
No, sir. I'm going to pay back Operation Push for my foundation. It's a fundraiser to start my foundation.
Jesse, of course you got me. I'd love to play the garden again.
All right, Mr. President, I'll leave you to do your labors such as they are.
Okay, fellas, cigarette break is over. Jesse, you take care of yourself and of whoever else you have to take care of.
Yes, sir, and I'll give your regards to Hillary.
Please do. So look, man, I forgot your name.
I never told you. It's Steve.
Steve, of course. I just wanted to ask you something.
Yeah.
How did you make money in the NASDAQ last year?
No big deal. I fixed up plumbing.
Middle-aged angst and premature powerlessness. Together, they add up to Clinton something. Moving this fall to Lifetime.
My fellow Americans, it's an honor to be able to secure time from the radio networks to continue this tradition of weekly addresses to you, my fellow Americans, by me, an American fellow who happens to be your president and is honored to be your president. You know, even though my predecessor engaged in this tradition, he didn't start it. No, that honor belonged to his predecessor, President Reagan, and it is such an honor to sit where he once sat to do these addresses, even though, full disclosure time, this is in fact a different chair in a whole other room. Now, we've had a good first couple weeks, and I just wanted to share with you what's in my heart about what we're doing for the American people. You've heard about my education plan and my tax plan. We're focused on these. I talked about them in my campaign, and that's the reason I won the election. And if I didn't, it's not the reason. But there's some other things on our plate, and I wanted to share these serving suggestions with you. First off, regardless of what you may have heard or read, we're not coming in here to do a 180 on everything my predecessor may have done. So, for example, the severe and occasionally unfair immigration law that he signed back in 1996 will remain in place. Because while we work for a more inclusive America, fairness demands that we have some exclusivity too. And the drug laws that have, during my predecessor's administration, doubled our prison population, they'll continue to do their good work. Because, you know, prison is one place where you really don't have to worry about the population explosion. So there's a consensus that we can build on. And this week, my cabinet became complete as a good man was sworn in as Attorney General by the man who was most qualified to be chosen justice, by another President Bush, as we call him, number 41. John Ashcroft has a good heart. A lot of his opponents got a little harsh, but we're setting a new tone in Washington. So let me just say this. A lot of those people don't know John Ashcroft's heart. They purport to tell you what's in his heart and that it's bad. This man's got a good heart. Here's a recent recording of my friend John. I know what's in John Ashcroft's heart, and now, so do you. Finally, I do want to say a special word to my friends in California. During this time when market forces aren't being fully allowed to work their magic, we've all got to do our part. I can guarantee you the federal government will stay out of your way, and my California friends may have to make some temporary sacrifices, but it's not so hard. As a matter of fact, at my ranch in Crawford, Texas, we can't even get cable. So now it's time to end this little broadcast. And like everything else that we're going to be doing in this new administration, it begins and it ends on time. And that, at least, you can take to the bank. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Wall Street Journal blew the top off the story this week that CDs are not virtually indestructible. Wow. Rip out the front page, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's also this. A controversial new service is providing professional callers for radio stations that feel ordinary phone-in listeners are not lively enough. Stations that use the professional callers rarely identify them as ringers, which is apparently part of the appeal of Callers on Demand, offered by United Stations, a syndication company partly owned by Dick Clark. Our army of live callers are standing by to jumpstart your morning show, reads a pitch on the company's website. Let's face it, most mornings, if the callers suck, you're out of luck. Why risk it? They'll be the dream listeners you really deserve, but so rarely get, the website promises. Stations take their pick from our performers on call, like a trailer park girl, a Chinese delivery guy, a 7-Eleven guy, people who do accents. We have one person who does, a brilliant 5-year-old girl who calls stations and tells dirty jokes she supposedly heard from her father. Hey, can we tell you who we got? From United Stations, ladies and gentlemen. The callers you deserve. Anyway, this is the radio broadcast you deserve, or not. That concludes this edition thereof. The show returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, over the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like knowing somebody who could do a brilliant 5-year-old girl telling dirty jokes she supposedly heard from her father, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Would you really? Come on now. Alrighty, thank you very much.